Look out! It's your weekly dose of wrestling news and silliness on the North America Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net. And as always, there is graphic language in this podcast.
For over 5 years, with over 250 episodes, the North American Wrestling Connection, NAWC, wrestling's recognized leader in talk entertainment. And now, CLW83.com and WrestleChat.net present the NAWC, bringing you great wrestling discussion since 2007, sanctioned by
WWE App, the new way to watch television.
Over on the WWE App earlier on tonight, right before Raw went on the air, Big E Langston didn't want to talk about his loss to Del Rio on main event. Speaking of the WWE App, World Heavyweight Champion Dolph Ziggler from his home 30 seconds after Raw goes off the air. We invite you to join us on the WWE App for Bret Hart Appreciation Night.
You can see it on the app.
Yeah, live on the app tonight. Ambrose began to dominate during the commercial break over on the WWE App. As we take a look at what happened during the break, if you have the app, this is what you saw. Well, we understand Orton and Sheamus are hanging out on the WWE App right now. And now it's up to you, WWE fans, to determine what you want The Miz to be in this next matchup, Wade Barrett versus Fandango. Go to the WWE App to vote right now. Polls are open now. You can vote right now exclusively on the WWE App.
I forgot the app, and if you haven't downloaded the app, do it right now. And
is it?
Was earlier tonight on the WWE App. And of course, Natalya, the daughter of Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Of course, Bret and the Anvil, part of the Hart Foundation. Speaking of Bret, 30 seconds after Monday Night Raw goes off the air tonight, join us live on the WWE App.
It's blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Blah 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 blah.
Curtis Axel took him out during the break on the WWE App.
Would you please shut the hell up?
And who am I to argue with Chris Jericho, especially when he's in Canada? I will not blame Canada for that intro. We are here at the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. This is our season-ending episode. My name is Nikki Heyman, and I have a slightly imperfect table, starting with our man with the good intro, Mr. Jim Williams.
By the way, you can hear the production of that intro on the WWE app. Oh, wait a minute. No.
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 Wrong! Wrong, 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 wrong!
Hey, there's an app for that, though, so you got that going for you. Actually, you can hear all of our fine programming on the Stitcher Radio app. Hey! We approve of that here.
And that will be promoted now, and that will be promoted at the end of the show. But we will shut up about it for the next 90 minutes.
Okay.
Normally I do me and three, but it looks like it's going to be me and fourth.
Yes, and I wanted to channel Super Trooper so bad and go, I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says WWE App.
Well, it's funny. Because actually on the radio show Cole does with John Layfield, he actually, you know, responded a little bit to people saying, yeah, we plug the app a lot and it annoys people. I understand that, but it's the wave of the future. We're doing it for, you know, to get headway, because that's the way you're going to watch things down the road. I'm like, okay, whatever.
So, you know, the fact that this is their new Twitter.
This is their new tout. Yes.
Yeah. I remember Tyler blowing up on the show here about Twitter. I almost literally got kicked off a VRM show about tout. And this app shit has really got to stop.
Now, let me beg the question. Have you, Nikki, used the WWE app during Raw?
No.
Do you have any plans of using the WWE app during Raw?
No.
Thank you.
I have this wonderful device called a DVR.
Mm-hmm.
So that I don't have to listen to any advertising. And I didn't have to listen to the great Khali singing happy birthday to Natalia.
Natalia deserves so much better.
She does. She does.
I smell a heel turn. I'm telling you, I smell a heel turn coming.
Well, we're, you know...
It's a diva thing, so I guess the heel turns like every other week. But anyway.
So, well, just the fact that, you know, WWE knew they were going to Bizarro Land, so they had to make sure that the Canadians were properly placated.
Yeah.
And they demanded to be placated immediately forth when they started chanting, "We want Brett over John Cena."
That was truly an awesome moment.
To which Vince McMahon said, in his best Bret Hart impersonation, sort of, kind of, "We're giving you John Cena! You want some goddamn injustice around here? I've had it up to here! And if you don't like it, tough shit!"
But the good news is that Cena partially acknowledged, you know, Cena partially acknowledged it and used it to let us know that his match with Ryback at Payback has been new and improved. Instead of a straight up ambulance match fourth, now we have three stages of hell.
Now, I definitely think this adds a little more anticipation to it, because the ambulance match felt more or less like almost just like an obligated rematch. Now this actually at least feels like it's going to end the feud with a bang.
And so the setup, if I remember this correctly, the first fall is a lumberjack match.
I'm a lumberjack and I'm okay. Sleep all night and I work all day. Hey.
Will Booker T be 100%? I'd like him to go out there in his lumberjack outfit.
Can he promote Hungry Man Meals while he does it?
Second fall will be a tables match.
Oh my.
Which, you know, hopefully that their, you know, hopefully their tables will behave themselves. If it comes to a third fall, and you know it will.
Bet your last money on it.
Then they'll do the ambulance match, which I'm perfectly fine with. Having the three stages of hell, you know, they can have a whole lot of fun and they can do a whole lot of damage. And in fact, Ryback got to demonstrate a little bit of this on SmackDown when he decided he was going to kill Kofi Kingston.
Hasn't Creative already killed Kofi?
Well, actually, they did Kofi a favor in this match. Kofi got a considerable amount of offense in before Ryback essentially lost his mind, killed Kofi, and then kept pulling tables out from underneath the ring and threw Kofi through three separate tables. I was waiting for Ryback, out of spite, then gather the carcass and carry it back to the ambulance and throw him in there.
Mm-hmm.
Just to prove a point. But, legit or not, the injury, this is essentially Kofi getting written out. I've heard elbow surgery.
Yeah, that's what's being reported. 4 to 8 weeks following elbow surgery, WWE.com is at least reporting that, so take it at face value.
If anything, guys, I'm going to give it to him because he's a new dad.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to grant paternity leave.
Okay.
I mean, he's between storylines. The U.S. title is on Dean Ambrose. Yes. And, you know, I'm not dogging on Kofi. I really am not dogging on Kofi for this. And Kofi's between feuds. So what better time to go ahead and go home? This is something that, you know, I've advocated on this show more often than not, that every performer should have a few weeks off here and there, you know, when they're between storylines, when things, you know, when they're trying to get something new going, when they're trying to get, you know, when you just need a guy to heal up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at you, Cena. So, and it's, you know, they've got so much going, they've got plenty going on right now. I'll get back to Jericho. To which he had probably the most eloquent part of the promo, which you used in the intro, Jim, while he was talking to my dear Uncle Paul. To which my Uncle Paul had a point. He gave Chris Jericho his first big break.
To which Jericho had a counterpoint, yeah, but he hasn't seen a check from him in how long.
Which is why my Uncle Paul made the point that he waived his appearance fee.
Oh, stop the pain.
What?
What appearance fee? Come on.
Do you honestly think my Uncle Paul does anything for free?
Too easy, not going to go there. Continue.
Were you the one in the front row with the sign?
I do know some Mother Canuckers. What can I say? You know,
you had somebody at the Monday Night Raw show hold up a sign that says, "I was a Paul Heyman guy, but he still owes me money."
That's great. That is great.
I will say that at least redeemed a few of the Canadian fans, because the two or three that chanted "You screwed Brett," come on, both men have moved on.
They have, and I'll get to that in just a minute.
Yeah.
The gist of the highlight reel was essentially Jericho taunting my dear Uncle Paul into getting CM Punk to come back at Payback.
He Jerotrolled him.
Pretty much. Not only did he troll my Uncle Paul, but he invoked some gimmick infringement by breaking the fourth wall.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Punk, how you doing? How's the family? How's that couch? So, you know, no, not Jericho. See him, Punk again, Forth.
Oh, man.
It
is a good match, but I don't know, the only good thing I can say is that now this won't have a Hell in a Cell to outshine it.
Oh, trust me, my disdain is pure sarcasm, because as soon as Paulie shook hands with Jericho, I was off my couch.
Yes! 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 Yes!
It's enough to throw people in with beards that go down to into fits of happiness. Yes.
And I will use that for a segue. As one of the other big things that's going on is Team Hell No. They've been teasing this breakup. And they did a wonderful thing with it on Monday, where Kane is trying to calm Brian down. Pays him all these compliments. And Daniel Bryan just lets it all go over his head. Enter the Hitman. Now, Forth, you got to chuckle out of this, because Brett said the exact same thing.
The icing on the cake was Daniel Bryan going, "Oh, yeah, but he's Bret Hart." I can't remember what he said exactly, but just basically almost he was going, "But you're just Kane."
So now I'm like, okay, are we in the somebody turn heel already phase of this tag team?
Inevitably, they're going to break up, like you mentioned. It's just the how. I think it happens more. I think it happens possibly as early as Payback.
We know it's coming. Yeah. We've been looking for it since before WrestleMania.
Poor Dr. Shelby. Mm.
I got my fingers crossed that he'll come back at least once before they call it a team.
Mm-hmm.
And call it a day.
And then they'll kill Dr. Shelby, and there you go.
Though, if you're looking for a turn, Jim, I think the Biggie Langston turn is definitely a sooner than later prospect.
Especially after what we saw with Raw Monday night, where he and Shucky Ducky Quack Quack AJ were leaving the ring on not so great terms after she exposed the turnbuckle, which only Big E Langston caught up in his big chesticles. And what? The man has big chesticles. What can I say? He's built. You know, was the undoing in the match he had on Monday night. Yeah, they're not on the same page, perhaps. So, trouble in paradise, no pun intended.
They're trying to make it, they're trying to keep it subtle because AJ interfered in the match on SmackDown and didn't get caught.
Right.
But Big E did not appreciate the assistance.
It's like it's a tainted victory, even though, you know, because he's so big, he can do it on his own. That kind of premise, I guess.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Plus, he's still waiting for his T-shirt.
Don't say it. Don't. No. No.
No?
Please, no.
I mean, just to see somebody that big walk out with a T-shirt on.
Come on, kids. Doesn't that sound like fun?
He'll be coming to the ring on his own little My Little Pony. Good lord. Oh, jeez.
You knew I had to do that.
And his new theme music will be My Little Pony, My Little Pony.
Oh, you would watch it just to see AJ skip to the ring to it.
Let's move on. Now.
Okay.
Gotcha.
She could skip to the ring to anything and I'd watch, okay?
Okay.
It could be Sheamus singing Havana Gila and I would watch her skip to the ring. Just saying.
I watched that anyway.
Yes, yes. CM is in the room. Yes, even the Right to Censor theme. Yes.
What about Natural Born Killers?
If she has a cheese grater in her hand, double points.
Moving on.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I shall go back to a topic that we all can agree to talk about. And that is my dear Uncle Paul and his newest prospect.
Michael Magino.
No. Joe Henning. I mean, Curtis Axel.
Don't call him Kurt.
The fact that he now has a win over John Cena, which amuses me immensely.
Yes.
He also... fourth, and I believe this was my dear Uncle Paul's doing, he had a match with Sin Cara on SmackDown. And to make sure that the public could see his prospect perfectly, pun fully intended, they did not use the Sin Cara mood lighting.
Well, that's why Sin Cara lost. There you go.
And that's a big reason why I think more people should be Paul Heyman guys.
You saw the match, Forth. What did you think of the crowd just completely turning on him when he perfect-plexed Sin Cara?
I was definitely enjoying the match, and I'm definitely thinking that if they give it enough time, he can definitely become definitely a heel to watch in the Intercontinental or United States divisions. But I don't want them to just rush into it. You know, let it build.
That's the fear I have, Forth. I fear they're trying to do this too quickly. They're trying to make a guy who, when he was previously on the main roster, ancillary at best, trying to make him, for lack of better terms, like when Ryback came back to the roster after the Nexus holdup. Ordeal, I should say. I don't know if they can... I mean, I want this to work because the man can work in the ring, no doubt about it. And he's got the mic skills, I think, to get the job done. I just fear that they're trying to do this too quickly. It's hypocritical of me when I say this because I'm one of the biggest proponents. We need them to get younger, them being the talent pool, the roster, to get younger and fast. And we've talked about this on previous shows where much of the talent pool is in their mid-30s or 40s or older, as the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But everything in due time. Also, you want to make sure you how can I say this?
You're not being hypocritical. You're trying to find that delicate balance.
The way they manufacture them is what I'm trying to say.
Or let me use my term. They need to let Curtis Axel come up the roster organically.
Yes.
And the cheap wins, I mean, the cheap wins are worth it. And because I'll take him having a win over Cena. I don't care how he got it.
Because it's lol, Cena lose, lol, Cena lose.
And the chat room says, you know, his win over Cena is Lanny Poffo beating Hogan. I think it'll have a bigger impact down the road.
As long as it isn't Horowitz wins, Horowitz wins, Horowitz wins, I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not.
Besides, Hogan's not going to be able to cup his ear for a little while.
Oh, yeah, don't remind me. No sex tapes for you, Hulkster. Oh, wait.
I'm not going to damage anybody's brains with the imagery of this. But Hogan somehow tweeted with one hand because his other hand was blistered up to hell when what was he working on?
Mother said if you did that too much, you'd get blisters.
No.
Oh.
He was trying to fix a radiator on his boat and it blew up. So, lucky him still walks away with all of his fingers, even though they were a couple of different sizes and a few new colors.
You would think after those years working on Thunder in Paradise, he would know how to operate such machinery, but no. No.
No, after the divorce, he couldn't afford a mechanic.
Oh!
Hi.
Ba-dum-bump.
Thank you. Anyway, so... he posts a couple of pictures of the horror show that it was, and then he actually had the gall to post some of the pictures of the quote unquote surgery when they lanced and took care of business with his hand. I don't want to go into too graphic a detail because last thing I need is somebody puking on my show.
Fourth, he's gonna.
At least he'll be laughing when he does.
Yeah, well, that's a positive. Laughing and puking, that's a rare special trait.
The only concern, best joke to come out of this.
Oh, here we go.
No, don't pop those blisters because a whole bunch of little Hogans are going to come out. They're going to take over the wrestling world. Gremlins reference for the win. Thank
yes,
you.
Indeed.
We don't need any more goblins. I mean gremlins in this world.
Yes.
Sorry. I should not make light of that because, yeah, he could have lost a finger.
Yeah.
It's making my hand itch just thinking about it.
Ooh.
Moving on then.
Yeah, let's move on. Since we're talking about the IR, I'm going to jump into a couple of other things. There was a bit of a scare that beautiful Bobby Eaton, we almost lost him this week. He had a massive heart attack. And apparently somewhere last rites were mentioned because I had come across my Facebook, did beautiful Bobby Eaton pass away? No, not yet. And I'm not wishing bad on him, Jim.
Yeah, what was reported via friends on Facebook, he had a serious heart attack, was still breathing, and this is as of the 29th of May, so a couple of days ago. Rumors were spreading about his passing, and at last check, he's improving, to the best of our knowledge, so.
So, you know, he's still with us. He is resting comfortably.
Oh, you had to say
definitely
that.
Good to hear.
Well, I should say it the right way. Quite comfortably.
Ah, yes, thank you. But sadly, though, something that actually on our group page, Tom Delgado brought up over the weekend, we lost a wrestler that came to us from Mexico, in Hector Garza, who passed away at the age of 43.
Cancer was the culprit in this case.
Cancer's a mother. Need one say more?
Yeah. But at least it wasn't on our. I hate to, you know. I'm not trying to make light of his death, but it's something that we can't tie back to wrestling.
Right.
We've had too many guys in their 40s go away. We've had too many guys in their 30s go away.
Yeah, reports say it was lung cancer specifically, and he was forced mm-hmm. to retire about a year ago, maybe a little less than that, to begin chemotherapy. Of course, he worked in WCW and TNA for a little while. I don't think you can completely fault this on wrestling or anything that he did in the business, per se. It's
no.
just, you know, the lifestyle he led and, you know, lung cancer, one put one and one together. He probably was a smoker, one would assume. Mm. You know, it gets to you. What more can one say? So, I mean, it's a sad passing. I enjoyed his work in WCW back in the day. You know, he was in that right place, right time when the Mysterios of the world came up to the States and did their thing, and he was brought aboard. You know, sad loss.
Indeed.
Well, then may I take a moment?
Sure.
All right, gentlemen, please remove your hats as I have done so. Con Dios, Señor Garza. And with that out of the way,
mm-hmm.
let's get back to some good stuff.
Okay.
Let's see. What kind of good stuff? Jericho was a doofus. Miz was a doofus.
I was still hoping he'd be guest ring announcer, but that's just me.
Jericho was one of many who have made the comments on Raw and SmackDown that guys should not associate with my dear Uncle Paul.
Hmm.
And I take offense to the list of things that Jericho came up with that you supposedly contract when working with my dear Uncle Paul.
Anything specifically?
Well, Jericho used the adage, if you lay with dogs, you will eventually get fleas.
Yes.
I don't have the complete list, but he said, but if you choose to be one to work with Paul Heyman, you're going to get the fleas, the ticks, the mites, the bites. I don't have the whole list, but at one point somebody said, he also said cranial menopause.
Oof.
Hmm.
And ended it with mange.
Aren't those...
Say it with us, folks. Mange.
Cranial menopause. Isn't that what you get if you stare at Jericho's jacket for longer than 2 minutes? just throwing it out there.
Cranial menopause is an affliction of women who have wrestled for too damn long.
But enough about Mae Young.
I'll show myself out. Anyway,
yeah, yes. See door. See, yeah. So they...
Actually, no, that's, there you go. We actually do know somebody who has cranial menopause. Dixie Carter.
Yeah. I was going to say Jenna Maraska, but there you go. That's another option.
Well, I wouldn't put it on Snooki's list because we just ran out of room on the paper.
Oh, yeah. Caps here.
So, speaking of injuries, actually, we're going to go to the worked injury that's been going on with Triple H.
Yes.
Interestingly enough, on Raw, it sounds like, Jim, that they're backing off on it because I think there was enough. I think enough people complained.
Yeah, they said it was, you know, after effects from the sledgehammer shot to his jaw, as opposed to, per se, a concussion. So they didn't come out and say it was a concussion. Which, you know, hey, it's a fairy tale. It can work that way. I'm not a doctor. I haven't been. I'm not Mike Emmerich. I'm not a doctor in that regard either. But I don't think even if you get hit hard in the jaw, you can be disoriented 24 hours later for no reason. Just a playful thought.
Well, I'm not sure how, you know, the fact that they played up that he wasn't cleared to wrestle to begin with
mm-hmm.
when he faced Curtis Axel last week. That, you know, they claimed that he went through all the neurological testing and said, Cole said it on Raw that Hunter was cleared or should be cleared by midweek.
Yeah.
Nothing was mentioned on SmackDown that I recall. And I'm trying to remember if they had said anything on Main Event.
See, this is why you should have the WWE app, folks. You can get that information instantaneously.
I was going to say, I can't think of anything they would have mentioned on Main Event.
But, are you just trying to convince me to put the app on my Kindle to see it blow up, Jim?
Yes, pretty much. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. As long as there's some sort of byproduct app where you can, like, watch the Spanish announcers hide in fear with their table breaking, then I'm in.
Well, it seems that you are enamored with the app, but then again, it's demanding to be enamored.
You're going to love me!
Yes.
If Lawler is actually using the app on Raw during any of these polls, mark my words, one day it will go down on him. It will fail and crash.
Well, it already has. Well, not the app, but previous web polls and what have you on live Raws have failed him tremendously, which has been hilarious.
Oh, you mean the Evan Bourne fiasco?
Yes.
Which I still think is hysterical, and you know, I think they finally, I think they actually fixed it. But then again, we haven't had a People Power show in a while.
Some of us miss People Power.
I don't miss Johnny a bit.
Some of us miss Adam Lee more.
People's Choice Mason Ryan was a missed gimmick. Yes.
Yes. He wouldn't get.
I need Mason Ryan on my television stat, and I want him to fight Big E Langston. Yeah.
In a pony on a pole match.
No. That's just muscles and wow.
Yes. Cool yourself off there, Nikki. Cool yourself off.
Sorry. I'm taking myself off.
And John Morrison is the special guest referee. And
are you trying to kill me?
Gets me closer to the show. Anyway.
How's that line go? You can be vice president. A heartbeat away. Not bad. Okay.
Well.
Okay, if you're going to be a creep, I'm going to creep right back at you.
All right, throw it at me.
Bray Wyatt.
Yes.
And the Wyatt family.
Ready for action.
This beautiful, creepy as hell, I can't believe they're doing it on a PG show promo aired this week.
All I have to say is goats.
Actually, lamb.
Oh, it's lamb? Oh, I'll show you.
Sheepy.
See, that's, I think that's what they're going for. They're saying that, because Bray Wyatt himself is kind of this Jim Jones meets Duck Dynasty, Swamp People kind of thing.
With a touch of Waylon Mercy for the vintage fans.
Yeah. And this beautiful promo that the rest of the world is sheep, and he will lead them to something completely new and different.
Well, obviously he's going to be a face, because remember, sheep go to heaven, goats go to hell.
But the whole send whoever you want, just don't send anybody you don't want back.
It's intriguing. I dig the promos. It's like creative actually decided to put some effort into something. I'm proud of them.
But again, Forth, I can't believe they're doing this on a PG level show.
The first time I saw it, I was trying to think, because it felt like one of those weird 70s movies where you're in the middle of a trip in one of the scenes. That's how it kind of played out to me. It was that intense.
I'm kind of glad that I got to see a little bit of Wyatt's work on NXT before this promo aired, because I would have been completely confused.
Yeah, understandably. Yeah, I got nothing.
Well, it's one of those things that, you know, that's Husky Harris. No, it's not.
It's interesting to see them bringing back all the NXTers from that first season all together now, all again.
Yeah, and Harris, Rotundo, Bray Wyatt, whatever you want to call him, has completely, utterly reinvented himself. This is one of those reinventions where you're going to have the number threes and number fours tell you that's not the same guy.
Exactly.
It's up there with the mask Kane, unmasked Kane. Those are two different people. There are people out there that have told me this. Then again, I've also run into fans who still think that Edge and Christian are related, and that Undertaker and Kane are for real related.
It's, you know.
So, but yeah, this creepy backwoods
fella.
Swamp Jesus.
Yes.
I guess can I use that?
Sure.
Is that legal? Swamp Jesus.
I'll allow it.
Swamp Jesus, yes.
Oh, by the way, I think Curtis Axel was sitting in the group during the in the prayer circle, if you look close.
I'll have to rewatch the promo there.
I'm almost positive it was him. After they say the part about, you know, send whoever you want, just don't send anybody you want back. And they have a shot of Wyatt standing in a thicket, and then suddenly there's like five or six people sitting around him, and one of them is, oh, I'm sorry, it wasn't Curtis Axel, it was Michael McGillicuddy. This was shot a few months ago. Crickets.
I got
Come
nothing.
On, guys.
Yeah. No, I was just trying to process it.
I got nothing.
Okay. I just... It was worth a shot, but yeah.
To be fair, though, he has a thicker beard now, so it kind of threw me for a loop.
Just, you know, hearing bits and pieces here and there that he was doing this new character... If I hadn't heard about it, and if I hadn't watched NXT, I wouldn't have been sure either. I honestly would not have been sure. Because all I think of is the fat guy in Punxsutawney. So, you know, good on him. He found something that really, really works, because I'm really, really creeped the hell out.
And that's not a bad thing, smirk. That's a good thing, smirk.
You just want me to run off the show screaming.
Speaking of screaming.
No, I don't think that the GM's got anything to scream about right now.
I would pay WrestleMania money to see the GM have a fit of rage a la Jesse Spano in the drug-induced episode of Saved by the Bell.
Nobody is a doofus.
This is true.
The GM has in great big letters, yabba dabba, what?
No.
WWE has decided to do yet another cartoon since they got The Miz on a Scooby-Doo show. Now they're going to get a bunch of wrestlers on with the Flintstones. How much money does Rock get for the origin, for even putting this out there?
I have a feeling you'll be getting millions of dollars, millions of dollars, millions and millions of, not really.
You don't need no millions of dollars.
This is true.
But just for that, even if they don't pay him, they need to take The Rock, put him in a Fred Flintstone costume, and make him work on that show.
But it's a cartoon, so I'll wait.
All the more reason.
That's true. Isn't that the Seth MacFarlane project that,
God, I hope not. I thought they got him away from that project.
I'm not sure. I know Fox is involved, but I don't know if it's MacFarlane's entity or not.
Okay.
Look for that during the break.
Not a bad idea. And while you're at it, find another way to get Michael Bay away from the turtles.
Yeah, really. Good. Michael Bay kills everything.
Slowly.
No, he doesn't do it slowly. He does it very quickly.
Okay, well, speaking of quick, let's just take a quick break here. You go ahead and look all that up, Jim. I'm going to go get me something to drink.
Balcony's open.
What's that?
The balcony is open. Yes.
Ha ha ha. We'll be back in a few minutes with more news.
How many websites do you use to get your fix of wrestling news? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. Brett Clendaniel and his staff bring you up-to-the-minute wrestling news and views all day, every day. And WrestleChat.net is home to great podcasts like WrestleChat Radio, The Still Real to Us Show, and the North American Wrestling Connection. For the best in wrestling news and views, there's only one site to turn to. WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat. It's where it's at.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meets social networking.
Hurricane Sandy left destruction and devastation across the Jersey Shore. Flooding and high winds left many residents without power, without a home, and without hope. With your help, that can all change. Operation Restore Our Shore, in cooperation with the American Red Cross, the Salvation Army, the United Way, and the State of New Jersey Department of Volunteerism, is committed to helping rebuild coastal communities impacted by Hurricane Sandy. To learn more about Operation Restore Our Shore, and to find out how you can help, visit facebook.com/Operation Restore Our Shore.
CLW83 Network programming is now available on demand through Stitcher Radio. Log on to Stitcher.com. Download and install the free Stitcher Radio app to your iPhone, iPad, or Android device, or log into the site via Facebook. Then search for CLW83, and you'll be instantly connected to all of your favorite CLW83 Network programs. The Stitcher Radio app at Stitcher.com. The newest way to tune in to the CLW83 Network. Online, on demand, and on the go.
And now, back to wrestling news and more silliness on the North American Wrestling Connection, presented by WrestleChat.net on CLW83.com.
Back on the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net. Nikki Heyman here with Jim Williams and Forth. And we actually got a bad fit of the giggles during the break because we started speculating about this WWE Flintstones project.
Yes, indeed.
So, some suggestions that I had come across.
Mm-hmm.
These were actually stolen from a message board. So, whoever put these up, I'm sorry. Hunter-Gatherer Helmsley.
With the H Rock. In that, yeah. You know, yeah. The Rock, yeah.
The Rock, easily done. John Cena-saurus.
Wouldn't he be Cena-saurus Rex?
Could be.
The most powerful and damaging of all the... No, forget it.
Horns Gravel. Cretaceous Kali. That amuses me.
Yes.
Sleestak Rider.
Woo, woo, woo.
Sadly, I get that. Vince McCaveman. I'm Vince McCaveman, damn it! Anyway, sadly, I can see this.
Yes.
And the CM and CM Punk would stand for Caveman Punk, but that means he'd have to grow his hair out again.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just imagining the tattoos as like hieroglyphics.
It'd be beautiful. The best one, though, was they have to have Brodus Clay on this project.
Oh, they have to.
I demand Brodus Clay's character be an actual dinosaur in a freaking singlet with two pterodactyls and cheerleader outfits.
I could see him as a triceratops.
Yeah.
I can't think of a name for Ryback, but I want to see a sight gag of him with one of those giant ribs.
Ah, the ones that tip over the Flintstones car in the original clothes.
At the drive-in, yes.
Yes. They'll find it. They got to find a way to. There's so much they could do with these guys. And. It's not unprecedented. Flintstones, original Flintstones episodes used to have celebrity guests.
Mm-hmm.
First couple of seasons. And, oh, there we go. Damien Sandstone.
Silence!
Silence! I am a magician, you know. No. Granted, I'm going to break my own rule about recaps, but
okay.
I want to thank the Canadian crowd for making this Damien Sandow Sheamus segment awesome. You saw this, Forth.
Yes, I did.
Watching Damien Sandow actually make a shell game entertaining. And then, Jim, having the crowd at some point starting to chant, show your balls.
Classic.
To which Sheamus says, nobody wants to see that. Followed by Sandow in a fit of pique. Turning to the crowd and bellowing, is there not one adult in this building?
Well, it was Edmonton, so the answer, of course, is no. They're pissed off because their Oilers suck. They have to laugh at something.
Actually, Sandow got them pretty good when he made the comment about them just giving Gretzky away.
Yeah, of course. Somebody has to do that. That's, you know, that train's never late.
And the fact that Sheamus actually got to say silence during the promo was amusing.
Yeah, maybe I'll snip that as a sound bit as well.
Help yourself. Please, I need
silence,
Finna! He just says, silence! And Sandow just whips his head around and stares daggers through him. So, this Sandow-Sheamus feud, in a battle of wits, Sheamus is not going into this unarmed. What do you think of this so far, Forth?
I definitely enjoy the feud, and it did kind of creep me out that I accidentally solved the Gordian knot, having never heard of this puzzle before.
Oh, did you cut the knot?
No, but I turned over to the person I was watching it with, and kind of smart-alecky, I went, I just cut the rope, and then I just felt worried about myself.
No, you figured out a good solution. Jim, what do you think of this battle of wits?
This is just plain fun. This is fun, and you know these two are going tit for tat for one another. I think it's entertaining. I think it's a good little rivalry that could last a little while. I'm all for it.
And as being as big a fan as I am of Sandow.
Yes.
And Sheamus strikes me as somebody who is up for just about anything in the wrestling business. I think he's got the Jericho mentality that, you know, we're going to fight over a cup of coffee. Awesome. Where do we start?
Yeah.
And you almost have to have that mindset in the business.
Yeah, because creative's going to throw everything they possibly can at you. I'm giving creative more props than they deserve, but that's the nature of the business.
Well, I mean, little things like, you know, just, okay, you know, Miz walked into the building Monday night and they said, we're going to have you do a poll thing. You're probably going to ref the match with Fandango and Wade Barrett. Which, you know, he played along.
Uh-huh.
The poll was so one-sided, it wasn't funny.
Not even Jerry Lawler's minuscule vote could do anything.
So, we get this match where Miz just watches them beat the crap out of each other.
Uh-huh.
And just for kicks, he gives Fandango the skull-crushing finale so Barrett can take the pinfall. Then for shiggles, Summer Rae falls on Fandango and Miz counts that.
Yes.
Doofus.
You still haven't been converted on the Miz, but still. Hey.
Oh, my bad. I had that backwards. I'm sorry. Wade lost the match. Fandango's winning streak is intact, for the most part, except for his loss to Jericho. Anyway. Dagnabbit.
Don't let the facts get in the way of a good story, Nikki. It's okay.
No.
Truthiness, yes.
Miz, I just want to slap around. Anyway,
Summer Rae was best pony in that match.
You said it, I didn't.
Yeah, well, somebody had to.
No. And Fandango needed something new to do since Jericho is focusing on somebody else. Since he has won the right to call him out on gimmick infringement for wearing something louder than Jericho ever had in his wardrobe.
I mean, we're talking that 70s guy, Mike Awesome, loud.
Seriously, I want to know where the batteries go to that outfit. I also want to know who was taking their sweet time Monday bringing the curtain down for Fandango's entrance. It was still being lowered as he was coming through.
Well, that person was fired.
Not to mention a tech in the truck got fired when they didn't go to the correct shot when they were shilling the freaking app.
Yeah.
No, don't fire him. Give him a raise.
Yes. The app.
App this.
Enough about Bill Apter.
Okay. Now, granted, I did speak earlier about Hogan.
Brother.
But I still need to speak briefly about TNA.
Yeah. I've got the quote here if you want me to go for it.
Please.
So here's the situation. This is from a couple of days ago where Bully Ray was on a podcast. The producer of the Felger and Maz show. That show's so wild. Jimmy Stewart, not the heralded actor. He's on there to promote Slammiversary, which is coming up. Now, the interview starts out Bully Ray's in character. Stewart stated that he wasn't that excited to be interviewing Bully Ray since he took out Hardy. And then things seemed to take a turn where Bully Ray got angered when the producer called Hardy a, quote, phenomenal athlete, while Bully was, quote, an average one. To which Bully Ray says, and I quote, honestly, I'm instantly offended that you, like for real in real life, right now, immediately offended that you would call me a mediocre athlete. You really should take it back if you want the interview to continue. I'll walk out this door if you're going to start off this interview questioning my athletic ability. After all of my success, you're going to question my athletic ability? There's not a damn thing in the wrestling ring I can't do, and I bet you there's not one thing that you can do. End quote.
I love Bully Ray. I really do. The man does not pull any punches, and he's probably in the best shape of his career. Yeah, he was a fat ass a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's a big dude who can do a lot more than most luchadors in some respects. I mean, the man, he's been in the business, what, 20 years, let's say, give or take?
About that, yeah.
About that. Going back to ECW in the mid-90s for his first big, and still, to my knowledge, best claim to fame, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in much better shape now than he was then. It's night and day. I mean, he was just a fat, and no disrespect to the man, because he was still doing awesome stuff in ECW, but he was a fat ass back in the day. Let's keep a spade a spade. Now, he's just, you know, it's a chiseled fat, if you will. The man is in beast mode for it. You can vouch.
Yes. The fact that he basically also early on got over by calling himself Calfzilla showed that he really did care to get into better shape, because his calves were like, they were pretty defined.
Oh, yeah.
Look at my calves! Making the handheld guy always zoom in on him. I would not want this guy to kick me.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the reasons to watch Impact Wrestling. There aren't that many reasons, but he's one of them to watch Impact Wrestling.
To which he would reply,
you're a lying sack of crap and you know it!
To which I'd say, I'd be honored to be called that by you. Thank you very much.
But seriously, no, that's, you don't treat a wrestler like that. I mean, there are some fat asses out there that think they can actually do stuff in the ring. And then there's what they call, actually, the trope is called acrophatic.
Okay.
Samoa Joe, circa 2005.
All right, yeah, I see what you're saying.
Acrophatic.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Very, very, very nice, yes.
Not my invention. But, you know, Bully Ray's always been in decent shape, you know, granted, him and Devon were both pretty darn heavy a couple of years ago, but both of them have managed to snap back into shape.
Devon is legitimately ripped, chiseled, and jacked by comparison to years ago.
Yeah. And Bully Ray probably can shop in a regular clothes store now.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm not digging on him. I mean, good lord, I dropped 60 pounds.
I've got no room to talk because Q Scott Steiner talking about fat asses and just point that in my direction. It's just, you know, The man can do a lot in the ring, more than most people, more than this producer of this podcast, not this one, but the one I'm referencing, Jimmy Stewart, will give him credit for.
Mm-hmm.
So now he can go back, this guy, and he can go back and hang out with Felger and Maz.
Whatever.
I'm sorry. I think this is out of Boston. I'm not sure. Let me check that very quickly. Yes, the Felger and Maz radio show. Good Lord Almighty. Maybe they'll do Impossible Trivia at 8:50. That'd be so wild. It's just a so wacky morning. Oh, actually, it's an afternoon show. It's a sports show, actually. I take that back.
That's fine. You got Boston guys talking to the New Yorker. It wasn't gonna end well.
It's never gonna end well. Exactly. you're just setting yourself up.
I don't have to be a sports fan to know that, to know something like that.
Yeah, because ESPN just throws it at your face every 5 seconds. Ooh, Boston, New York, greatest rivalry known to man. Meh, pony.
Whatever.
Yes. So.
But,
pony.
Anyway.
I already said that. Thank you.
Yes, I know. But we just needed to be added for emphasis.
Pony. Alright, thank you, Jim. Next.
Pause for dramatic effect.
You know what?
What?
Nothing.
I want to, you know, I'll touch back a little bit on Curtis Axel. Because of, you know, I've been bragging about this little victory that he has over John Cena. Unfortunately, his and John Cena's charisma was not enough to keep the attention of Calgary. And
that's because there was a fight in the stands.
A fight broke out down by the guardrail.
I went to see John Cena wrestle, and an actual fight occurred. Yay!
Well, yeah, a fight broke out. It was supposedly a handful of drunken teenagers, and to the point that the audience was all looking off to one side, and it was bad enough that they actually changed all the camera work late in the match.
Well, if it was a thank goodness it's not a pre-recorded Raw these days, because otherwise you'd hear the guys on the announcers on headset, oh, and there's a fight in the stands, and like in that one off the air bit. Oh yeah. Man, that would have been awesome. I would have paid money to hear that. But no, wait a minute, drunk Canadians? No.
Yeah, I know. It's such a rare sighting. It took them a few minutes to break all this up. There was a fan cam got out. So
I can look at that, yes.
I don't know if it's still up, if WWE found it and pulled it, but I saw the fan cam. It was somebody fairly high up in the lower bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Got a shot of fans knocking each other down. I think it was on the aisle. Camera side, no, it was ramp side, I'm sorry, spit side over by the ramp. That turned into a scuffle that you saw arena security and the Jimmy squad go over and try to break up. There were six or seven fans involved. And there would have been non sequitur applause as a few of these people were escorted from the building.
And for what it's worth, the video was removed by the user, so they got a C&D on that.
Yeah. So, if a fight in the stands is more interesting than the match in the ring, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So, the last thing that I'm going to talk about for tonight is, it unfortunately has to touch back on that damn app. As their attempt to sell us on the app, they did Bret Hart Appreciation Night.
Which, let the record state, if you were in Canada, or as we call it, Canada, You did not have to have the app because they broadcast this on the home of Raw in Canada, The Score.
Where, essentially, if I understood correctly, because I have not seen the video, I've not seen the video in its entirety. I just saw some wonderful, wonderful highlights.
What are you looking at?
The fact that I got to see you hug Brett the first time back in 2010 still did not lessen the impact of you two embracing on that appreciation session.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. It was a very very nicely done ceremony. Very nicely done. Lawler goes out, they go to a video package of Brett's career, and various people speak, Jim Ross, Vince McMahon, and others, contemporaries of him, of his. And then they bring Brett out, and they read the proclamation from the mayor. It was Bret Hart Day in the city of Calgary. And then they bring people out. Pat Patterson was there. And the society we live in, I swear my hand to the heavens above. People can't take a freaking joke. Because Brett apparently made a one-liner about, I think, the fact that Pat Patterson, like, is on his knee more often than not during the end of a match or something like that. And people, of course, were like, oh, because he's gay. No. He was talking about the fact that Patterson wasn't exactly the most mobile of wrestlers in his day, I guess. So, just come on, stop it. And then, if memory serves, Sean came out, and I swear to God, Sean, shave the beard, because it adds about 50 pounds to you. Not good.
Hobo Michaels is complete.
Maybe he was hanging out with the Wyatts beforehand, and he didn't have time to shave. I don't know. But no, that was nice. They embraced. Jericho came out. What I thought was cool was the Jericho part, actually.
Okay.
Jericho told a story about... And if I may say this, Jericho was going through the ranks, obviously, in the early and mid-90s. And this was at the time when Hart was feuding with Davey Boy Smith, the British Bulldog. God love him, mm-hmm. God got him, as you would say.
Yeah.
And they were going to have a big match at a pay-per-view. I don't remember which one it was. But Brett was talking to people, various young wrestlers who were up in Calgary for a Stu Hart wrestling tribute show.
Mm-hmm.
And he was looking for a different kind of move, submission move or what have you, to use in the match. So Jericho, you know, never one to shy away from putting something out there on the table, is like, what about the Minestrel Cradle? You know, maybe I'll try that. So he showed it to Brett, put the move on somebody else who was there. And Brett took a look at it. It's like, interesting. And we'll mull it over. The pay-per-view match was a couple of days later. And wouldn't you believe it, he used the move Jericho suggested. And this is a guy who, you know, wasn't... I don't think he was even in ECW at the time. So he was a relative nobody. And that inspired Jericho. You know, hey, if Bret Hart thinks something of some 20-year-old wet-behind-the-ears kid and his suggestions... Maybe, you know, I should continue. Maybe I've got something in this business. So even though they never fought in a match, he actually helped Brett in the ring psychology department of a match with the British Bulldog, which I think was awesome. Just an awesome story.
Now, since you watched it, I see a note from the chat room. Did you happen to catch Lance Storm standing on the ramp?
I don't know if I caught him, sadly. This is how sad it is when it came to the stage thing. Well, of course, McMahon came out before that.
Right.
But, the first person I noticed, sadly, who popped on the stage was Tony freaking Dawson. No, he was... I think somebody nudged him like, Tony, you shouldn't be, like, prominently on camera. You're a nobody. Let's get to the back. Rank and file, boy. Rank and file. But I didn't catch Storm initially. I'll have to rewatch the footage. I don't doubt that he was, but it was a nice little ceremony. It was nice, and it's going to lead to more activity on the WWE app because apparently this post-Raw thing is going to be something that's ongoing. They're going to do like a 20 or 30 minute thing after Raw starting this week.
Good. Then they can do all their freaking recaps there.
Put complete with the bad show. Movie trailer voiceover guy. Why not?
Okay.
He needs work because, you know, Saturday Morning Slam isn't anymore, seemingly.
Well, just because, well, mainly because since it's put in a syndication block and the rest of the shows are in reruns. So, I do have a request. And I'm gonna need some input before I pull this lovely long lever.
Uh-oh.
I cannot throw the app into room 101. I have been told that that's not allowed.
Why is it not allowed?
Bret Hart Appreciation Night.
Yeah, well, okay. But it's on YouTube or elsewhere, so you can find it any other way.
Okay. So, granted, I don't have a full table. But can I just, since, you know, can I throw the social media shill in general in room 101?
You would get no complaining from me. I mean, yeah. It's gotten to the point where they don't even give a damn about Twitter. But I should say that half tongue-in-cheek because you always see the hashtag at the top left corner of the screen now.
And they do a Twitter crawl during the show.
At least once an hour, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't mention it by name, per se.
No, and they really haven't done a whole lot with Tout either.
Because they realize Tout sucks. Vine.co is a lot better, and that's only because Iron Sheik is using it now, and that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I heard about the Radio Shack video. I'm scared.
Between that and the pistachio one, Sheiky Baby's on a roll.
I'm scared.
Well, I'll tell you quickly. He has one pistachio in his hand, then they cut away. 100 pistachios, a bowl of pistachio, big bag of pistachios. 1,000 pistachios. So I naturally made the assumption that he's auditioning for Sesame Street.
Oh, dear.
Oscar de Grouch, you are not the real.
Oh, God. He's but already...
With the comma clutch and make you humble.
Given that he basically didn't just rip into the person providing the voice of Elmo, but at one point actually assumed that it was the character of Elmo that was controversial, I actually could see him cutting that promo on Oscar the Grouch.
Oh, my God.
License to print money, people!
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so fourth, shilling, you know, social media shill.
I definitely think it should go in because it's getting to the point where it's really distracting from the matches and they really just overdid it.
I mean, not this week, but last week, Cole was segging to commercial break. The match will continue if you have the app. I'm like, oh, God, stop it.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't... It's enough that... They've shielded it enough that I don't want the app.
And it becomes somewhat counterproductive because...
They show the stuff anyway. It's like, it's just... It's almost the same as what they did with Unlimited.
Well, not just that. The problem, though, is... And this is actually a serious point I want to make. WWE has to walk a delicate line with this. Because, yes, they're promoting second screen content. That's not new. It's relatively new. Other sports outlets have been doing that for a while. The problem is, USA Network may not be too keen on this because it takes away from their advertisements and their advertising dollars.
And that's what killed Unlimited.
Exactly. But then again, WWE has a network coming out and... Oh, wait.
Yeah, that got shilled again, and allow me to excuse me while I prepare a response.
They don't have a chance in hell, even if John McCain's a la carte cable legislation comes into play. Matter of fact, if that comes into play, they're even more screwed.
If I could do a la carte cable, I'd only have about 6 channels.
I'd probably have 20 tops.
But
I mean, okay. They're saying what was it, $13 to $15 bucks for the channel?
Yeah, nobody's going to pay that.
No. Oh, God.
Nobody pays that for packages.
I mean, Red Zone's on 16 days a year, and people pay, what is it, part of a sports entertainment package for that, and that's less than, in most places, $7-$8 bucks a month.
Exactly.
And you get a bunch of other sports channels. They are not bigger than ESPN or Fox Sports 1 or whatever, you know, sports outlet that is worth a lot. They're not.
Now, the good news is that, you know, maybe some people might pay it because if WWE keeps to their word and puts all their pay-per-views except Mania on there, okay, you have my attention because I'd rather pay $15 than $50.
Yeah, I mean, that would be, but of course, you know they're going to renege on that eventually. You know they are.
I know, because, and then I would cancel.
Yeah.
I would find a way to get rid of that channel.
I mean, that could set up a lawsuit, for God's sakes.
Mm-hmm. You are going back, you know, this is what you promised me. And they'll pull the card subject to change card.
I remember not long ago doing a survey about the WWE Network for actually something for Swagbucks that I participate in. And that's one of the things they were questioning, what the price point should be. And I'm like, no more than $10. And even that's a stretch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because it would be 5 to 6 times worth more than any other channel on cable TV.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, HBO, for God's sakes, the HBO channels as a package tier, you get them for $10 a month.
And that's how many channels?
At least 7, or no, take that back, more like 10 or 12 now.
Okay. And they want us to pay $10 to $15 bucks for one channel.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why. I do. Believe me, I do. It ain't gonna work in this economy.
Yeah, this will be the general response.
All right, fuck you.
Pretty much.
So, we are agreed social media shill goes away?
I think you ought to put the network in there, too, while you're at it.
No, the network, I don't think I'd get any argument. The network in general, success, fail, pass, double down, I don't care. It's not going to happen. So, yeah, I'm just going to take that whole bundle and Barrios, is that the guy's name?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I'm putting him in with the network. Head first. Good night, gentlemen. Okay.
Now, that taken care of. When you say the network, you're not referencing, you know, Cyrus with the network and the clap. That's different.
That's a whole other kettle of fish.
Because, I mean, Roller Jam and Rock and Bowl notwithstanding, that was fun. Okay, anyway.
No. WWE Network is what I put away.
That's what I figured, because, you know, you said the network. I was like, uh-oh.
No. And social media shill, yeah, I got a spot for that right about here. Okay.
What's that smell down there?
I've only noticed it since New Jack's been down there, so.
Oh, great.
Oh, man.
I'm going to make him clean that up.
Isn't Heidenreich down there to do that?
I wouldn't trust Heidenreich on helping with that.
But he's an excellent poet. Anyway.
Oh, duh.
Anyway. Yeah, there you go. It might not have been New Jack. It might have been Matt Hardy. Okay. I'm going to keep that door closed, and I'm going to lock it. So before we call it a show, Forth, do you have anything to promote?
Just Typho Show, which is still on that other place. VRM Sorry?
Go ahead.
So the VRM Show, which we finished a taping tonight, And a quick birthday shout out to Jake the Snake Roberts, who a few days ago turned 58.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim, I'm sure you've got a few things to shill.
Oh, sure. The latest Touch 'Em All Baseball podcast is up. We talk about everything from Mike Trout, Millville's pride and joy, to
Mike Trout.
No. We also talk about Miguel Cabrera's his incredible tear that he's on in Detroit. And then we get serious and we talk about death as a promotion at a ballpark. Yes, there is a minor league stadium up not far from you in Wisconsin, don't you know?
Okay.
That is having, as I swear to you, as a promotional night, pre-planned funeral night. One lucky ballpark visitor, one lucky fan, can win their own pre-planned funeral. If that doesn't say take me out to the ball game, I don't know what does.
I've got a place for that. Do you mind?
Oh, please, go ahead.
Because I'm going to bury it myself.
Oh, I like that. Very nice. So we actually bring up some of the more unique promotions we've seen over the course of our years watching the game. And Chris, I ought to just smack you for what you just said in the chat. Even though you're kind of sort of right in some respects.
Did you at least bring up Bob Uecker's version of it in Major League?
Just a bit outside.
No. He promoted, you know, they were supposed to have a special kids night. It was called post-nasal drip night.
Oh, jeez. I didn't mention that one. But what we did mention, and we have it on the Touch 'Em All Facebook page, facebook.com/touch'em all, Coco Crisp Chia Head night. Because the guy has an afro the size of Big Afro. And they gave out Chia Heads to all the fans who went to the O.Co. Coliseum in Oakland.
That's funny.
It was unique to say the least. That and a whole lot more on the Touch 'Em All podcast. I'm joined by DC Lundberg. I'm joined by Joel Quay. And for the first time from 5 minutes at the Frat House, Sidekick joins us. Very exciting. Also, all the programs, as I mentioned, Stitcher Radio, the Stitcher.com radio app for your iPhone or Android device. You can also listen on player.fm, and you know, we are still on iTunes. That's worth mentioning. And one final thing, kind of proud about this. I've been in internet radio for about 11 years, internet and terrestrial radio, kind of a cross hybrid for me, going back to my roots a little bit. Starting Monday, the 3rd of June, I am going to do morning news and weather for highlightradio.com. I'm very excited about this. I do the newscasts a couple of times during the morning between 6 and 11 a.m. during the Charlie Tuna Morning Show, playing lots of the great music from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, a lot of songs that don't get airplay on the radio these days but are hits and are part of the sound of Philadelphia. And you can listen at highlitradio.com. Sam Litt, Hi Sun, does a remarkable job, and I'm honored to be working with him, a class guy from the Philadelphia area. And I'm just tickled pink to be a part of the team.
I unfortunately have nothing to shill because I'm right here. Well, actually, no, I do.
See, you lie.
No. You cannot assume that I am lying by simply seeing my lips moving.
I don't see your lips move. This is a Skype conversation.
And we have the video turned off for a reason.
Yes, because I have the face that scares small animals and children. Why am I on internet radio and podcasts, for God's sakes?
You said it, I didn't.
Well, I made Mark Summers laugh saying it to his face.
So,
about me, next, not him.
Yes, our next show starts a new season. And I was thoroughly corrected that this is the end of our sixth season.
Wow.
The fact that we have gone over 275 episodes without killing each other.
We've come close.
Yes, I admit I have come close.
We voted a couple of people off the island.
Forcibly. And we've had a couple of people that got thrown off the island that were brought back, right, Forth?
In a sense.
I promise, we will not put you in room 101 unless you make a pun so horribly bad that it derails the show for 10 minutes. And if my pun from last week about Zack Ryder didn't get me thrown in room 101, you're pretty darn safe.
I was going to say, now I'm worried because I'm not sure if that was a challenge or if it was just a warning.
Take it for what you will, but like I said, if my pun about Zack Ryder standing in front of the fence for his video would have been more appropriate so he could start over, didn't get me thrown in, you're pretty safe. But this is a wonderful show to be on. I have a lot of fun doing it, and I have a lot of fun with everybody who shows up, who actually shows up.
That's not a dig at anybody.
No, that's not a dig at any, not at all. Nothing to you, DJ. Not at you, Tristan, never. Oh, did I say that out loud? Are we still recording?
Yes.
Shit. Okay. For Jim Williams, for Forth, my name is Nikki Heyman. Another season is properly in the books or in the electrons, depending on how you want to look at it. So please, stay tuned. We've got more nonsense coming, just not this time. Have a good night.
JWC Media.